Like the office they commemorate, presidential libraries are living institutions. Certainly, it is my hope that the Reagan Library will become a dynamic intellectual forum where scholars interpret the past and policymakers debate the future.
Welcome to a Reagan Forum, hosted by the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. The Center for Public Affairs offers lectures and forums presenting perspectives on important public policy issues of the day, from politicians, authors, members of the media, business and military leaders, and more. For today's Reagan Forum podcast, we are going behind the scenes to share with you some of the inside stories of what we do here at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. The Reagan Library opened on November 4, 1991, but the groundbreaking was held 3 years earlier, in November of 1988. In fact, November 21, 2023, marked the 35th anniversary of the groundbreaking of the Reagan Library Museum. To commemorate the day, the foundation put together a video of how the library was built and why Simi Valley was chosen. Let's listen.
The story that'll be told inside the walls that are yet to be built here is the story not only of a presidency, but of a movement. A determined movement dedicated to the greatness of America and faith in its bedrock traditions, in the essential goodness of its people, in the essential soundness of its institutions, and yes, faith in our very essence as a nation.
My role with President Reagan actually began before the White House. I met him when he was contemplating running for president, and I talked to him, and I was just so impressed as a young student. A year later or so, he announced he was running for president, so I walked into the headquarters and said, I want to volunteer to work on your campaign. Once he came in the White House, I was offered a position to come and work for him on the White House staff. And as he got to the end of his term, President and Mrs. Reagan were making plans for how they wanted to live their life after the White House. They found a house they wanted to live in. They were thinking about what their office would be, and they were thinking about the presidential library. Part of my role as his chief of staff and his post-presidency was to be the point person for the presidential library. And they talked about it. How could we make this a place that could tell the story and make it a place that people would want to visit and that would engage people of all generations, from young students to older people who wanted to just kind of think about those golden years. And that was the plan, to build something that would be vibrant, that would be dynamic going forward, and that would be a contribution to the conversation. Ronald Reagan, before he had his ranch in Santa Barbara, he had three other ranches. And one of those ranches actually bordered on the space where the Reagan Presidential Library is now. And even beyond that, when he was making movies and television shows, he would often do Western scenes, and they would use the actual place where the Reagan Library is today as the venue for cowboys riding horses. He and Nancy Reagan were very interested in it. They got into a Jeep one day while they were still in the White House, and Secret Service went up and looked at this spot in Simi Valley. And President Reagan looked out, Nancy Reagan, they could see the Pacific Ocean, they could see the rolling hills of Southern California, and they said, this is the place.
I had the great fortune of being a part of it before we broke ground here. I had the opportunity as a member of the House to fly with President Reagan over this site before we broke ground. We were at a Christmas party, at his last Christmas party, and I'm walking through and they were getting ready to go upstairs for the evening. And the president looks over, hey, Congressman, how's my library coming? And so I was a little embarrassed, and he said, hey, come over and tell all these folks how we're doing with the library. I said, well, I was just out there last week. These bulldozers are kicking up rattlesnakes. He said, oh, did I ever tell you my rattlesnake story? And everybody perked up. He says, you know, I ride English. I said, yes, Mr. President, I'm well aware of that. My horse reared, and I pulled back on the reins really hard, and he backed off, and I looked down, and here's this rattlesnake. And so I got the horse to back. I got off the horse. I walked over there and I stomped that rattlesnake in the head. And then I realized my boots were Reeboks. True story.
And there was a major project underway to, once the decision was made to build a library there, to make sure that those rattlesnakes were relocated so there were no encounters with library guests when they were visiting the presidential library. One thing the Reagans wanted to do with the Presidential Library was give people a sense of what it's like to be the president. And one way to do that is to take people into the places where the president operates. And the Oval Office is the center of that. So the president made it very clear that he wanted to have an exact replica of the Oval Office. And it was built off the original blueprints of the Oval Office. And as the construction was taking place, the architects noticed that the height of the original Oval Office, which is what President Reagan wanted, was higher than the height of the Presidential Library. So the choice was either raise the roof of the library or lower the floor to build the Oval Office. So as you go through the Presidential Library, you'll see there's a ramp that gently takes you down to a lower level where you enter the Oval Office, and that way it could be an actual replica to the real Oval Office in the White House. Well, before the construction even started, there was a groundbreaking, and the Reagans wanted to get that done while they were in the White House because it was important that the library construction begin and that it open and it begin operation. The White House advance team was very skilled at putting events together, and President and Mrs. Reagan and the trustees of the library and a small group of others were there with shovels to break ground for the library. And the advance team very smartly softened up the soil right in front of where President and Mrs. Reagan were, so they could take those shovels and they could stick it in the ground and they could throw it over their shoulder. But they didn't do it where the rest of us were. So we had shovels, and I still have my shovel, and we were trying to shove them in the ground, and we're trying to jam them in this rock-hard soil. So President and Mrs. Reagan looked very, very strong and shoveling the dirt away, and the rest of us couldn't even break the surface. I think President Reagan would be very pleased with his library today. It's an active, dynamic place. People of all ages are visiting it. It's a place where the candidates for President of the United States come to make their case. I think Ronald Reagan and Nancy Reagan would be very happy to see where the Reagan Library is today.
Well, there's no question about it. It's the number one destination point. And we used to say that Simi Valley is a destination point for parts of Southern California. And we now call Simi Valley a destination part for the rest of the world quite often. I don't think there are adequate words to describe what my life has been here. And the honors I had to be with President Ronald Reagan, it's surreal to me. I still pinch myself when I think about it, and we're going back a lot of years now.
Proverbially, old men plant trees, even though they do not expect to see their fruition. And so it is with presidents. The doors of this library are open now, and all are welcome. The judgment of history is left to you, the people. I have no fears of that, for we have done our best. And so I say, come and learn from it.
To keep the Reagan Library campus new and exciting, we often add new monuments, artifacts, and objects. July of 2021 marked what would have been Nancy Reagan's 100th birthday. To honor her here at the library, the Reagan Foundation added a permanent statue of Mrs. Reagan in the library's Rose Garden, seated on a bench. In this behind-the-scenes video, renowned sculptor Chaz Fagan discusses his vision for the bench and the inspiration that Nancy Reagan brought to him throughout his life.
I think many of us here have said it, and it's well known, but there could not have been a successful Ronald Reagan without Nancy Reagan. She was so fundamental to everything that he accomplished. It's fitting that she's positioned here, I believe, with her eyes looking at the library, the place where his legacy resides, the Reagan Foundation that was such an important part to both of them and their lives.
The idea was to have an inviting, welcoming figure in the garden. If you imagine arriving at the front gate and turning down and entering this space, you see the person seated and comfortably seated, casually seated, and you just kind of, the idea is to join her. So making her a destination, or a place to go in this beautiful spot with an amazing view. It's a chance for her to be seen as an individual and for her to be seen as the person filling the role of First Lady. Being given the freedom creatively to make a little narrative, to make a story, to go with the piece, I couldn't help but add a little more of the rest of her story, which is her actions in helping and supporting her husband through the Cold War and big events like that, and I think of big national events and tragedies, etc. And she was always featured for that. And so we went through a number of possibilities for articles and came up with a couple. And the one that was selected was one that featured her in particular, being a strong supporting first lady, who stepped in when her husband was ill, and it was the same day she had learned that her husband had cancer. But with that, she was able to stand and do a major diplomatic event with hundreds of people. Well, there's a particular flower that she enjoyed most, and those are peonies. But it also gives a storyline here that she's in the garden having collected some flowers, possibly for hosting a table setting or something. But it gave a chance to have a little bit of activity for her. The bigger story, the deeper story, that is Nancy Reagan's. And it was featured just recently this year in the new book by Karen Tumulty. She does mention a lot of the background efforts by Mrs. Reagan in the Cold War and initiating conversations and relationships and things, really critical to how it all turned out. And with that in mind, my hope was to include a piece of the Berlin Wall as a reminder of her role in the Cold War. So this is not the first Reagan statue I've done. There's one just inside the building of actually the two of them together, but the more notable ones are the one that stands in the rotunda in the U.S. Capitol of President Reagan, and then the statue of President Reagan at the Reagan Airport. And there's also one in Grosvenor Square in London.
I think it's all too common in marriages that no matter how much partners love each other, they don't thank each other enough. And I suppose I don't thank Nancy enough for all that she does for me. So Nancy, in front of all your friends here today, let me say thank you for all you do. Thank you for your love. And thank you for just being you.
We've also added military equipment to our campus over the years to represent President Reagan's Peace Through Strength initiatives. In 2019, we unveiled an F-117 Nighthawk stealth fighter, the world's first operational stealth fighter. The specific F-117 we unveiled is tail number 803 with the nickname Unexpected Guest. It flew more combat sorties than all other F-117s combined at a total of 78. The aircraft entered service in May of 1984 during President Reagan's administration. In this behind-the-scenes video, you'll hear from former F-117 pilot Lieutenant Colonel Scott Stimpert, as well as from then U.S. Secretary of the Air Force, Barbara Barrett.
For this administration, peace through strength is more than a policy. It's a promise we've made to the people and a promise we intend to keep.
It was a unique assignment at a unique time. The Soviets built up a large conventional force that was shielded by a large integrated air defense network that they thought to be impenetrable. Stealth technology, represented by the 117, represented a breakthrough to get through that shield and show the Soviets that they could hold targets at risk inside that shield of integrated air defense. So it went from emboldened to deterred. It was an important part of conventional deterrence in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. When I interviewed for the job, I didn't know what kind of airplane I was going to fly or what I was going to do. The airplane was classified when I first went to it, so it was shrouded within the black secret classified world. Didn't know what we were going to do.
I believe it stands today as the greatest secret our nation has ever kept. For 9 years, pilots, maintainers, contractors would gather at a small airport in North Las Vegas, and every Sunday afternoon they'd quietly fly north to Tonopah Airfield, only to return home to their families on Friday night. The entire time, families had no idea what mom or dad did or where they were.
The arrival of the F-117 changed the calculus of war. The F-117 Nighthawk is the epitome of innovation and successful collaboration between the United States Air Force and industry. It's fitting that we gather here at the Reagan Presidential Library, this metaphoric city on the hill, to unveil the F-117 Nighthawk, a visible reminder of President Reagan's mantra of peace through strength.
The F-117 represents the strength of American innovation and the strength of what we can achieve when we work together. The 117 will help educate a new generation of Americans, inspiring young people.
Looking at this plane, it is a triumph of aerospace design. And I'm no engineer, but I think the technical term is badass.
More behind the scenes videos after this message.
The Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation is the nonprofit organization created by President Reagan himself, and specifically charged by him with continuing his legacy and sharing his principles: individual liberty, economic opportunity, global democracy, and national pride. We must remain vigilant and work together to share these conservative principles with younger generations. Your role is critical to move our mission forward. Thank you for your continued support. Please visit reaganfoundation.org/give. That's reaganfoundation.org/give.
Now back to our behind the scenes at the Reagan Library podcast. Before the message, we unveiled an F-117 Nighthawk at the Reagan Library. 2 years later, we unveiled an M1 Abrams tank, third-generation American main battle tank, named after General Crichton Abrams. Let's listen.
We've restored our military to what it ought to be, combat ready and fighting fit, the strongest, proudest military for the strongest, proudest nation on earth. And we've got to keep it that way.
Christopher Vonderland, I'm a lieutenant in the U.S. Army, stationed out of Fort Irwin, California. And today we're painting the livery here on a M1 Abrams tank. Usually it's a little bit more crude in the real world. Usually it's soldiers just out there with stencils, painting the bumper numbers on there, and it's a pretty minimalistic concept. You want to keep it subdued and keep them all looking, you know, the same. It's a special type of paint that is non-flammable, so if there's any kind of like phosphorus grenade or something that's thrown at it, it'll reject lighting on fire to the best of its ability. It's going to be painted with the National Training Center logo on it. It's also going to have an 11th Armored Cavalry Regiment paint job to commemorate primarily the Armored Cavalry Division at Fort Irwin. I really appreciate the opportunity to come down here. Myself and Staff Sergeant Upton that are here with me, we really do appreciate this opportunity because it's not every day that, you know, anybody would get out here and do something like this.
We are proud to formally dedicate this M1 Abrams tank as the latest addition to the Peace Through Strength exhibit here at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library.
In addition to permanent additions to the library, we often do programming associated with our temporary exhibitions. In 2014, the Reagan Library hosted a 10,000-square-foot exhibition on baseball. The exhibit featured over 700 artifacts, including some of the rarest, historic, and iconic baseball memorabilia from the largest known private collector in the United States. The exhibit displayed extraordinary artifacts from Babe Ruth, Joe DiMaggio, Lou Gehrig, Jackie Robinson, the Brooklyn and Los Angeles Dodgers, and scores of other historically important players and organizations. Because of the artifacts within the exhibition from the Brooklyn and Los Angeles Dodgers, we invited Dodgers manager Tommy Lasorda to tour the exhibit and then give a speech at the Reagan Library. Over 1,000 people attended the program, and Tommy Lasorda did not disappoint.
It's really an honor being here at the Reagan Library. I think this place is unbelievable. When I was here a long time ago, this place was really something to behold, and now it's even greater. They've done a tremendous job here, and you see these Dodger shirts. I think I've worn some of those shirts at one time. So, you know, it's amazing. To see the gigantic show here is unbelievable. And it's a master. And to our president, who was, in my opinion, one of the greatest presidents that ever lived.
Due to the success of the baseball exhibit, a few years later, the Reagan Library hosted a football exhibit. The exhibit featured over 600 artifacts, including some of the rarest, historic, and most iconic football memorabilia in the country, including remarkable artifacts from the legends of the game, as well as sections on the LA Rams, USC and UCLA, and scores of other historically important players and organizations. For this exhibit, we invited NFL quarterback Terry Bradshaw to tour the exhibit and speak. Once again, we had a sold-out crowd.
Hello, folks. I'm Terry Bradshaw. I'm here at the Reagan Library, and they're honoring, as you can see, the NFL. And they've got famous quarterbacks' jerseys here. And I made the famous thing right next to my buddy, Namath. And my hero growing up was Bart Starr. I don't know where's Bart? Right here. So this is kind of cool. Ricky Ellison loans some Super Bowl rings, so you get a chance to see those here and the helmets and pictures. Of course, my favorite president was Ronald Reagan, so obviously it's a fun day, fun evening, actually. So I invite you all to come down. Check it out. Even when this stuff's not here, come down and check it out. It's pretty amazing.
Hi, my name's Jason Porter. I'm from Somas, California. I'm here for my birthday. My dad brought me. He's from Pennsylvania. He's a big-time Steeler fan. We're here to see Terry Bradshaw.
I'm here to see Terry Bradshaw the Great with his four Super Bowl championships representing on my arm.
We're the Ellis sisters from Orange County, California. I'm here for my 60th birthday surprise. Love the Steelers, love the football exhibit, and so happy to be here to spend the evening and see Terry Bradshaw.
It is amazing. Trust me when I say this. The nicer you are, the better the reward you will get. The kinder you are to people, the kinder they'll be to you.
For the last behind-the-scenes video we'll share today, we go back 2 years to when the Reagan Library hosted an exhibition on the FBI and asked FBI Director Christopher Wray to speak. The exhibit covered the history of the storied agency from inception to its modern-day efforts to fight domestic terrorism in the United States.
I couldn't help thinking this morning that no document or official history of the exploits of the men and women of the FBI could ever really capture what the Bureau, what the letters FBI themselves mean to the people whose way of life you are sworn to serve and protect. To the American people, you're a legend, and that is rightfully so. FBI agents have always been thought of as a cut above the ordinary, as law enforcement agents whose dedication and professionalism make them a first line of defense against mobsters, spies, corrupt officials, and other professional wrongdoers who prey on the innocent and undermine the moral foundations of our society.
I have to say, I'm honored to be here with you at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library. The years of President Reagan's administration were momentous ones, defined in large part by our struggle against the Soviet Union, whose empire, where freedoms we hold dear, were snuffed out. That era and that work are a huge part of the FBI's legacy and history, a history that the library has captured so well. The Reagan Library's FBI exhibit is a great place to talk about what we, our partners, and our allies are doing. The exhibit not only shows how threats to the United States have evolved over the decades, but also how the FBI has evolved to stay ahead of those threats. And we focus on sharing what we learn through our work, and I mean really sharing a lot, with a whole variety of partners who can act alongside us. And I have been heartened to see that recognition take hold, to watch and help our partners gird for the long, important fight now underway. And everyone involved in that fight can be certain that you will have no more committed partner than the FBI. And as President Reagan said in his inaugural address, no arsenal or no weapon in the arsenals of the world is so formidable as the will and moral courage of free men and women.
To see how many officers have fallen during their service, like, it's amazing to see that many people giving their lives in line of service.
Really, it's been a tremendous exhibit. Incredibly grateful to you all for putting it together.
Bravery and integrity is a long and distinguished one. At each turn in your history, When criminals have engaged in new or advanced forms of criminal activity, you have led the law enforcement community in responding to these threats. Once again, you are being asked by the American people for that kind of leadership. Let me say to all the agents and staff of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the American people are proud of your past and your present, and we're grateful that you will be there for all of the challenges that lie in our future.
We have almost 3 dozen behind-the-scenes videos on our YouTube channel, and they're all worth a watch. Simply go to youtube.com/Reagan Foundation, go to the Playlist tab, and select Behind the Scenes at the Reagan Library. Thank you for listening.
For more information on the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute, including information on how to become a member, information on upcoming exhibits at the Reagan Library, and more information on the legacy of President Reagan, please visit ReaganFoundation.org. And don't forget to like and follow the Reagan Foundation on all social media platforms.
Until next week, thanks for listening. God bless you.
Don't forget to subscribe to A Reagan Forum podcast in your iTunes or Google Play stores and on other podcast platforms as they become available. New episodes of A Reagan Forum come out every Thursday. Like what you hear? Check out our Words to Live By podcast featuring radio addresses and speeches Ronald Reagan delivered from the 1960s through the 1980s. New episodes drop every Tuesday. And don't forget to follow at Ronald Reagan on Facebook, at Ronald Reagan on Twitter, and Reagan Foundation on YouTube. Also, search for us on SoundCloud and Stitcher.